Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. That means I seek the protection with God from Satan, the rejected enemy. And I open with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM listeners, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your hosts, Mark Shahid and Quran Shakir. Today's show is hosted, produced, and engineered by me, Quran Shakir, and I am so happy to have with me our host, Imam Mark Shahid. This particular program is a lab that explores the intricacies of what it takes to find one's other half and to find joy, peace, and tranquility inside of the marriage relationship. Journey with us as we explore the beauty of courtship and marriage in this learning lab. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you our co-host, Mark Shahid.
As always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, sustainer, guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. I'd like to greet our IWDM astute listeners and those who are listening nationally and internationally across the world with the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God Allah can give, that obligates the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. I am Mark Shahid. I am the host, facilitator, producer, and also the the originator of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that began almost 6 years ago on AM 360 radio. And we want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost for blessing us to reestablish this learning lab on IWDM radio. A special thanks go out to the founder, Brother Khalid Islam, Abdullah Islam, for giving us this opportunity, and a special thanks to our brother Imam Mikhail Sair for all his help in terms of helping us get acclimated to IWDM radio. And a special thanks to my very distinguished and esteemed co-host here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Quran Shakir. And we want to thank you all for being present with us tonight. And one of the staple things that we will establish here on the Learning Lab, if you missed the previous, the inaugural Learning Lab, there was a lot of very important things, significant things that was said. So each Learning Lab will open with an overview. And for that, we go to our very distinguished and esteemed co-host of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Quran Shakir. Once again, assalamu alaikum to you, Quran.
Wa alaikum wassalam, Mark. And it is so wonderful to be here with you this evening and with our esteemed listeners. Alhamdulillah, this is a blessing. And I think last week, the inaugural program was a wonderful way to kick off this wonderful program that is now entering into its sixth year, alhamdulillah, thanks to you. So last week, a part of the inaugural program, we were really introducing the concept of the program to our listening audience. And one of the things that we want to wanted through that and now make clear is how important marriage is to us as individuals, but also as those who are committed to be those pleasing to God. And so one of the things we emphasize is that marriage is a sacred trust, and it is half of our faith. Being sacred means that there is something special that we do with this trust to God. So some people think they get married, and when they marry, that they are marrying because they want to be connected just to some individuals. But we emphasize here that it's bigger than that. It is a trust to the Creator. And when we understand that, then we treat it differently. A second point that we made on last week as a part of the program is that those who are God conscious or conscious of God's word and his way and the work that needs to be fulfilled with his commands will find greater joy and peace inside of marriage. We will find that greater joy and peace and tranquility inside of our own selves, but definitely inside of marriage. The third point that was made is that the guidance of the Word of God is important to us to build our relationships. And so we must ground ourselves in Scripture, in revelation that God has given us, because through that he has given us guidance. The fourth point that we want to make and emphasize is that being those in courtship or seeking a mate is not about dating, and it is not about just having a good time with someone, but you're actually on a mission when you are seeking the other mate. And so sometimes in our country, it's trivialized, this idea of marriage, and with it being made so trivial, then we sometimes think that the dating process is an opportunity to woo or impress someone, but it isn't. It is an opportunity for us to be on a fact-finding mission, and that's what I like to call it. You're getting the facts about that other person, and in getting the facts about that other person, then you are making decisions for yourself. Can I live with this person who is in this state, no matter what it is? So it's not how can I change them down the road or how can I make myself look good or impressive to them. It is not about that. It's about really going through a process of getting to know someone, because there is a goal and a purpose to the connections that are being made. And then the fifth point that was made is that we have to be in our marriage relationships all about developing healthy relationships versus just simply being married and existing inside of a relationship. We emphasize that for the next few weeks, as a part of this program, we will be using as a text. So those who want to get that text can go and order it if you'd like. But the text that we'll be using is called Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad, the Prophet, to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. And it is written by Akila Nafisa Rashid. And inside of it, there are several principles, six principles, as a matter of fact. And we'll go through each of those principles, inshallah. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our overview for last week's program, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, right here on IWDM.
Alhamdulillah. Excellent. Very comprehensive overview indeed, and some very important highlights from last week's Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It is stored in the archives, and you can go in and type that in, the date last week and all, and type in Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and it'll be accessible to you to review it in its entirety. And that applies to all the learning labs here on IWDM Radio. And we want you not to come to the learning lab by yourself. I know you have family members, you have friends, you got neighbors, community members, associates, and all that you know can benefit from tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab each and every Thursday evening here on IWDM Radio. We want you to spread the word. Let it be known that you can benefit greatly from tuning in and listening in. And we also, because it is a learning lab, it's just like classroom or being in the lab, you want the only things that you need is an open mind, open heart, and also a pen and pad to take down some notes. We're quite sure that each and every learning lab that Quran and I will provide something that you will find to be noteworthy, and you can jot it down. We also want to say that this is your learning lab. This is your learning lab. And so the expectation that you will participate, that you will have questions. No question is a bad question, only that one that is not asked. When you ask a question, it is a question that others have on their mind, but maybe a little shy in terms of asking the question. But it's very, very important that we keep that innocence that Allah put into the original nature. All of our children have natural curiosity, and we should always maintain and sustain that natural curiosity to want to know. This is half of the religion, as Quran stated, and so that should pique our interest there. And this is one of the few things you can get a license without actually having any type of proof or passing any type of test or whatever. So the learning lab, we want to bring it to the lab for examination, to for extrapolation of correct information and education when it comes to the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage. And so even if what we are talking about on the topic is a little off topic, but it's pertaining to courtship and marriage and all, we do invite that you bring it to the lab. I want to say that first and foremost. And an excellent overview that Quran gave. I always want to start out with something from the Quran. One of the things that Quran that you said last week I thought was paramount. You know, that this is, we have to look at the sacred institution of marriage as this is Allah's marriage. And He's entrusted us with this, as she so eloquently stated. Very, very important. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Furqan, which is often translated as the criteria. Also, Imam W.D. Muhammad has said to us, Al-Furqan also means the distinction between what is correct and incorrect, the distinction of right and wrong. So in Surah Al-Furqan, which is the 25th surah or chapter of the Quran, for those who may not understand surah, it means chapter, and the 54th ayah, which is a sign or instructing sign, but also means verse. So chapter 25, ayah 54 of the Quran, Allah says, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, it is He, Allah, who has created the human being from water. And then He established relationship of lineage and marriage. And know that Allah has power or influence over all things. Very, very important ayat. And it is Imam Muhammad that has, in his tafsir, clear explanation, that taught us how to read verses from the Quran. There's always more than one meaning. Some become very obvious, and then there's always abstract meaning. So we understand that from this ayah, before we actually open up the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab tonight and go to the resource book that we'll be using, we want to start with something from the Quran. So obviously we know the importance of water in terms of life. And so we can look upon that, you know, in terms of physical creation, as Allah has created everything, and water is one of the four major elements. But also from the tafsir, Imam W.D. Muhammad, the clear explanation, given the context in which water is used in the Quran, it can mean spirituality. It can also represent morality. It can also represent emotionality. And it can also represent sensitivity. So if we look back again at this ayat, the 54th verse, the 25th chapter of the Quran, Al-Furqan, we can see that water here can mean that this is spirituality that was created in the human being. Allah actually breathed into his human creation his spirit. And part of that ayat that says he has power over all things. The spirit. You understand that Allah has put into us, and Imam Muhammad said the spirit means influence. So Allah is able to influence his creation. He has the power to influence his creation to how he creates it and the nature that he gives it. And also, in terms of the morality, we know that it takes water to keep ourselves clean externally, but it is the morality, the ethics, and all to keep ourselves clean internally. And emotionality. And this book kind of talks a little bit about that in that regard. But the emotionality is similar to what we see in terms of water. And it's very important to note that we are emotional beings, but we want to mature to have an emotional intelligence. And also the affection, you understand, that parents would have to have for their children and that you would have to have for a prospective mate, those good emotions and all. And then finally, sensitivity. We see the sensitivity in water, the ripples that if you put throw a pebble in there, how the ripples seem to just move forward for I don't know how far. But we are sensitive beings. You know, as the Prophet Muhammad was revealed to in terms of being a Bashar al-Muslim, Bashar meaning a sensitive flesh and blood human being. We have to have sensitivity in relationships. So Allah is saying all of that before he says, I created the human being from water and then establish relationship of lineage. Lineage being the family line, which are all of us are born into a family line. Mm-hmm. And then marriage. You see, family, and then marriage. So we can see that these two learning labs are really connected. So this is the courtship and marriage learning lab, and the law has already influenced this. So whatever it is that the law has established, it is his. And he has established the family life, and he has established marriage for us. This is part of God's will and way of plan for us. So it's very important that we always look at God's word, a revelation revealing to us the importance of the sacred institution of marriage. And his messenger has said that marriage is one half of our religion. So we want to look at that by way of the Quran. And with that being said, I'll turn it back over to our very distinguished co-host, Quran Shakir, and she will begin to take us into the resource text that we'll be using, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet in Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. Quran.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, good intro, Mark. And I like what you said about this is a learning lab. So for those of you who are listening, let's treat it like that and go ahead and get your pen and paper and be prepared to take notes. And in your notes, we really welcome your questions. And we don't want you to be shy with your questions because we are gentle in our responses. And inshallah, we'll all go together in this process of really appreciating this sacred trust that Allah has given us and appreciating that marriage is half of our religion. I also want to restate and emphasize what our brother shared, and that is that share this opportunity with those you love and those around you. So I ask you to take 30 seconds now and go ahead and make a post on social media telling them, I'm listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and let them know that the number to call in to be a part of this studio is 714-816-4673. And we invite them to go ahead and join us. So go ahead and make your post. Go ahead and send out a text. And what I'd like to do is to introduce this text that we'll be using, the Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect, written by Akilah Nafisa Rashid. And any of you who wish to get the book and be a part of this discussion with us, feel free to do that. We are going to go through this each week. We're going to start with principle one. However, before we get into this principle, I like what our dear sister shares with us about sometimes when we're in marriage, we think, I've got to get out of this because we're not compatible. I've got to get out of this when trouble comes. We're ready to run. And what one of the things that she said, which I really love in her introduction, is that a part of our challenge is that we may not be enlightened. And she does that instead of being incompatible. We may need to be more enlightened, and that unenlightened tradition can lead to a stalemate, she says here. And she said, you need the right roots to successfully cultivate the garden. And we're looking at, we are in a garden in our relationship, and in this garden, then we need tools to be able to go forth in the relationship and feel like we're meeting this obligation, honoring this trust that Allah has given us. And a part of the tools that we need would be enlightenment and education based on the word of God and the authentic life example of Prophet Muhammad. And this I'm reading from the introduction. She said, we should equip ourselves with the knowledge to enlighten, empower, and educate ourselves and those around us, male and female. With this new insight, we will strengthen ourselves as individuals, fortify our marriages and our families, and rejuvenate our communities. That concept tells us that marriage, in addition to being a law, it is designed to be a foundation for community life. And being a foundation for community life, we need strong, stable, healthy marriages. And a part of that, having strong, healthy marriages, our dear sister, our author, Sister Akilah Rashid, says that marriages and the individuals within them are constantly growing, evolving, maturing, and changing for the better. We hope and we pray. The pulling of weeds is a constant work that must be done together in every season of marriage to promote healthy growth and development and to reap the full benefit of planting the seeds of respect, intimacy, partnership, peace, love, and equality. And those are the principles that we will get into. So as we get to this first principle, principle one, in your notes, you want to put principle one would be respect. And this idea of respect, she garners from Surah 57, Ayat 28, where Allah the Most High says, O you who believe, have a high regard and conscious, sacred respect for God, and believe in his messenger, and he will bestow on you a double portion of his mercy. He will provide for you a light by which you shall walk straight in your path, and he will forgive you, for Allah is the merciful forgiver. This particular ayat that she begins with, she uses this word high regard, and if you look at the Arabic that is used in the Quran, it is taqwa. And sometimes we'll translate that word taqwa to mean God consciousness. Well, she says, oh, you who believe, have a high regard and conscious, sacred respect for God and believe in his messenger. So this idea of this high regard then that we must have begins with this regard that we have for the Creator himself, and then for his messenger. And then it's followed by, Allah says here, he follows it with, what does this do for you? What does this high regard for God and his messenger do for you as an individual? And he says that one of the things that it will do is that he will double his mercy to you. Who of us does not want Allah's mercy? But he will double his mercy for you if you have this high regard for him. And then he says he will provide for you a light by which you shall walk. So everywhere that you go, every space that you enter into, you have this light that is shining upon you, glows with you, and it is the light of Allah. And most importantly, he will forgive you. And this idea of forgiveness in this ayat says that, to me, it says that we are bound to be those who err and make mistakes. And we know in marriage we do, because we just talked about this idea of constantly evolving. But if we have Allah there ready to forgive, and it says Allah is the merciful forgiver, is what this ayat says to us. We have Allah there ready to forgive. So beginning just with this ayat then, I want to say that what this does is it reminds us to establish ourselves as one beholding to the one who created us. Before we start to look for a mate, before we start to be good to our mate, let's be good to ourselves by having a high regard for the Creator. And every breath we take, every word we speak, everything we ingest, meaning what we listen to and receive from others, we do it as a way of having this high regard for the Creator. Imagine what that would do for the soul and the individual if they are inclined to have this high regard for God. And so be on this constant assessment of yourself and ask, how have I prepared myself for marriage? And that's whether you are married or ready for courtship in marriage. How have I prepared myself spiritually? How have I prepared myself physically? How have I prepared myself intellectually? How have I prepared myself economically for this sacred trust of marriage? And the beginning of that is to honor this principal one, to have this high regard. And she likens this a high regard to this idea of respect. And that respect is for God. That's what high regard is, respect. And that respect is for God. And then you can have that respect for yourself once you have that respect for God. And there are things you're not going to do if you have this respect for God and what he has put in you, what he has established in you, especially going back when you look at the ayat that Brother Mark shared with us, this idea that Allah has established us and created us out of water and established us to have a lineage. He gave us this whole concept and this whole idea of lineage. So marriage is a responsibility that Allah has established for us. And I'm going to give another point, and then I'm going to allow you time, Mark, to respond to this. But on page 2, if we're looking at this idea of respect for God, she begins with the ayat that often is repeated in the marriage ceremony. It says, O mankind, have a high regard and a sacred conscious respect for your Lord who created you from a single being and created of like nature is mate or partner, and from them countless men and women, and have a high regard and sacred conscious respect for God through whom you appeal to one another, demand your mutual rights, and have a high regard and sacred conscious respect for the wombs that bore you and for family ties. Verily God ever keeps watch over you. I love that she begins with this idea, this respect for God then is followed or continues with this whole line of where does the respect need to be in this respect for God. And so it says that he created you from a single being and created of like nature your mate or your partner, and from them countless men and women. So that's just one way right there. So if we look at that, Allah has given us this thing that we call marriage, but he has given us this opportunity to have this regard for him and to understand that our own existence includes the existence of our mate. He has already has one for you. You know, often we'll say the one you're seeking is seeking you. So they're out there. And so that means that in this respect for God, we have this respect for self, and let's be prepared to receive and respect the mate that Allah has prepared for us. So Allah has a mate for us. And from that mate, Allah offers us the opportunity to have countless men and women, meaning look at the lineage, look at who you are, and look at where you're going 100 years from now. That's the countless men and women. So let's be very strategic in how we select our mate, knowing that it is not for the moment, it is not a temporary pleasure, but this is something that we're looking at, a pleasure that will last for generations to come. And we're looking at, we're putting this genetic thing in our families, right, in our communities, that inshallah will have a ripple effect, if we may use our words, for countless men and women. Yes. And he says, Allah says, have a high regard and sacred conscious respect for God through whom you appeal to one another or you demand your mutual right, and have a high regard and sacred conscious respect for the wounds that bore you and family ties. So the wounds that bore you will be the experiences, the schools, the communities, the masjid, the people that we have been exposed to, and they help to form our identity for us. Those are wounds for us, and we have the responsibility to have a regard for them. Those are connected like our family ties, and we have to have a respect for our family ties. And he says that Allah ever watches over you. And so Allah is watching us on a regular basis. So, Mark, I'm going to stop there, just beginning just with that ayat that she gives us right here and this idea of respect for God.
Yes. No, that's excellent, Quran. Boy, I tell you, you have me taking notes there. I tell you, I'm hoping that our radio listening audience is taking very good notes. And once again, we want to invite you to press 1 at any time. Anything that you may hear Quran Shakir or myself say tonight, and you want to get more insight, God willing, we'll be able to give you more insight into that. Or if you like to make a comment, you know, some things that you would like to share with us and the radio listening audience, we invite you to do that. And the third one, the reason that you could and should press 1 if you're listening and you don't have a question, or you don't think or feel in your mind and your heart that you can make a comment to add something to this learning lab in terms of information and education taken from this resource book by Akila Nafisa Rashid. If what is being said is resonating with you, I know it's resonating with me, and so hopefully it's resonating with you. We invite you also to press 1 to let Quran and myself know. You know, even in the introduction, very, very important, and this first letter in the word ripple, it's an acronym, and it's beautifully constructed because it's not chapters in this book. They're principles. So this is the first principle. This is the first principle that that Akila Nafisa Rashid is introducing. The first principle is acknowledging our Lord and Creator. And as Quran said, it is taqwa. Imam Muhammad say, God being God conscious, or conscious, being consciously regardful of God. And she called it having the utmost respect. in consciously respecting God. And I think to put something on that in terms of that, looking at this in terms of the two attributes that Allah gives us in the Quran, in Al-Fatiha, Allah introduces himself, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with a name. With whose name? With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Very, very important. Imam Muhammad give us a lot of insight in terms of Al-Rahman. Al-Rahman we associate with the natural creation that it is that Allah has given to us that we didn't have to ask for. Everything is right there. Even in terms of our own creation, the baby doesn't have to ask for milk. The milk is there. The mother doesn't have to be concerned. The milk is there, you know, see. So Allah has given us so much. So to be consciously respecting God, who is our creator, I'll call it the creator, is very, very important in terms of what he has given to us from the natural creation. But also, very important, Al-Rahim, the merciful redeemer. Imam Muhammad, once again, in his tafsir, has said that Al-Rahim is associated with revelation. Mm-hmm. This is how God redeems his human creation and takes it right back to Al-Rahman, the merciful benefactor. This is very important, so we can see that there never was a time that a prophet had to come and give up his life or anything like that, shed blood. No, it always has been from the very inception or beginning of humanity that we was redeemed with God's word when we lost the way. So this is very, very important in terms of this first letter in the word ripple, having high regard, high respect for our Lord and Creator. Very, very important, our Lord and Creator, which is very important because that's the way it is that Allah shapes and forms us, and he teaches us through natural creation, and he teaches us through revelation. So we ought to have a high regard, a higher respect for the one that has created us. And our whole life it has to be dedicated and submitted in servitude to the one that has created us. So therefore, we look for God's guidance, and it is the Quran. It is the Quran that guides us, where Allah is a book of instructions for the construction of human life. And part of that construction is the sacred institution of marriage. Also family life, as we reference us, or Al-Furqan. It makes a distinction between what is correct and incorrect. So if we're thinking, you know, Quran, if we're thinking, well, I don't need, if we hear people say, I don't need to be married, I don't want to be married. And I've heard some Muslims say that. So, you know, I want you to think about what you're thinking about or what you're saying. This is not in accordance with God's will and plan. Allah has said, I have established this. And what it is that Allah has established, we can't de-establish this. And so we want to be in accord with his word, his will, his way. And we want to do the work. That's the third W, word, will, and way, so that we can do the work that we was created to do, and that's in servitude. So the sacred institution of marriage is about servitude. It's serving God's will and plan. There's more we can say about that. But I also like the fact that you went to Surah An-Nisa. That's chapter 4 in the Quran for those who are not familiar with the Quran. And it is the first ayah, the first verse. This verse is always read at nikah, at the wedding ceremony. So very important. And Allah is saying, Khalaqakum min nafsin wahida, that he has created both the male and the female from one single soul. Just that part alone, you know, Quran, that eradicates any racism, classism, elitism,
mm-hmm.
yes, genderism, sexism. So the Quran, there's nowhere in the Quran you're going to find that he created the man first and then he, it's like an afterthought, created the woman. You know, so Allah is given the correction of revelation that came before that was ultimately changed and put women in an inferior position in that regard as an afterthought, not in the Quran. Allah is saying that I have created one single soul. Imam Muhammad said we can say one single essence. So in the spiritual makeup, the spiritual creation, the abstract creation, that both male and female have, that they share that together. There is no superiority. Men, we don't have any superiority. He has created us all from one single soul. Ayu Hanasu, Taqwa Rabakakum, Kalakakum, and Nesin Wahida, Wa Kalakakum, Min El Zaljaha. And also its mate. Now, that mate can be translated as Imam Muhammad in terms of different ways. And the Quran gave an excellent in terms of how we are to mate. And what it is that ultimately we will create, you know, we will create. But we will create countless men and women. It didn't say babies.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say babies. I can't remember the Arabic for babies, but it didn't say babies. So it is a good translation. It says men and women. So this shows that there's a maturation in terms of what Allah's revelation actually is. And then we talk about consciously, regardful, respecting human beings that actually mirror that nafsin wahida. You know, the best way to explain that is like, look around in your immediate area. Anything that it is, even the apparatus that I'm talking through, the book, that Quran is reading from. If I ask you the question, what came first, the conception or the manifestation? And you will answer the conception first. So Allah has given us the conception first in his creation. And what it is that he has embodied in the essence of both male and female. To the mate of that is that when we become consciously regardful and respecting of that as conscious, God-conscious people, then when we relate to that, then we can produce countless men and women consciously regardful, consciously respecting God, his word, his will, his way, and performing the work. So, you know, in that progression, each generation should be getting closer and closer to what God's word is, conforming to God's will, and striving to the best of our ability to live our life the way God wants us to live and to be able to perform the work. So there's a lot to be said about that, but I think that this is an excellent beginning, Quran, in what Akila Nafisa Rashid has in her book, because ultimately we've said on the Learning Lab for years now that anytime you're building something, you have to have a foundation. You have to have a foundation. And the foundation for all healthy relationships is your relationship with your Lord and Creator. That's first and foremost. And that relationship is of servant to master. Allah is the master, mm-hmm. and we the servant. So how will we serve the one that we say is the master, that is our Lord and Creator. We would have to know what are the instructions that I'm supposed to receive? What is it I'm supposed to do? So the Quran provides those instructions for the construction of the relationship of the sacred institution of marriage, and the Prophet Muhammad, he becomes the demonstration of revelation of how, you understand, we are to conduct ourselves and interact with each other in the sacred institution of marriage. So it doesn't get any better than that, at least in terms of establishing the foundation, the first relationship, because if we have the right and the best, being the best servant that we can be, which is an obedient servant, then that serves as the foundation for building any relationship, not only the sacred relationship of marriage between man and woman, and we won't have any other marriages because Allah is giving us instructions in terms of that he has created us in pairs. And there's other parts of the Quran that we'll reference in subsequent learning labs here on IWDM. So with that being said, I want to invite our radio listening audience. You've heard a little bit now, so we do invite you, if you have a question or comment on anything that Quran may have said or I may have said that have caused your eyebrows raise a little bit, maybe your hair stand on end or what, I don't know. But we do invite you to press 1 if you have a question or you have a comment, or you just want us to know that what you're hearing is resonating with you. And if not, we got plenty of material here. We'll just continue to go. So I turn it back over to you, Quran, to let me know, do we have any callers in the queue at this time, Quran?
We do have one, and I just want to remind those who may be listening online that you can join us in the studio. And if you join us in the studio, then you can push 1 and make comments, ask questions, and be a part of this conversation with us. So if you're listening online, you can dial into the studio at 714-816-4673, and you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab right here on IWDM Radio. Alhamdulillah. And we're going to go ahead and take our first caller here, and that would
be... And let me say this real quick. Let me say this real quick to our radio listening audience. You don't have to be Muslim to be a participant. You don't have to be Muslim.
Absolutely.
And the things that we're saying is this learning lab is designed for all people. If we say something in Quranic Arabia, we will translate it into English so that you will understand it. And if it's something that it is that you don't understand, we invite you to press 1 to ask that question, and we can give further clarification for what it is you don't understand. So no shame at all. You know, we start out not knowing. That's how Allah says he created us. We don't come here knowing anything, but he's given us the capacity and the faculties so that we can learn. So with that being said, let's go to our first caller, please.
Yes, we will. And so we're going to welcome to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, 386-275. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
We hear you.
Awesome. All right.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Najwa, Florida, Daytona Beach. And
sunny Florida.
A lot of questions. So I'll hang up after this one and then call back again. But my first question is, last week you spoke about puberty, when our children reach puberty. So what are some of the things parents can start thinking about in this courtship process, so to speak? Because we don't want our children to kind of come to marriage cold turkey, but at the same time, if they're 14 or teen. So I'd like to hear your, you know, both of you give comment on that, you know, to parents and even grandparents, et cetera. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne,
for calling in. And that's our very distinguished, esteemed co-host. I did an excellent job last night on the parenting and family reconstruction learning lab. And I'm going to defer to you, allow you to give whatever it is that you would choose to give in terms of puberty, why that is so important that we begin to talk to our children about that so that they become more prepared as what's happening with body and changes, Karan?
Absolutely. Well, I want to say before we even get to puberty, this preparation for marriage begins probably 6 or 7 years old. But it is what they see. They need to see us in healthy relationships. They need to witness that with their souls, with their eyes, with their hearts, with their ears. They need to hear how does a healthy couple talk to one another. How do they disagree with one another? They need to also hear us talk to them about the just what we're saying today about how sacred marriage is and how important it is, even in the struggle. It's still beautiful because Allah has asked us to do this. It's a trust for him. So they need to hear that conversation. By the time that they get to puberty, let me back up. I often say to young parents with young children, just as you begin to save for college and for other important things in their lives, also establish, especially for the male, a dowry account for them. And with that dowry account, you are teaching them already that there's this sacred thing that you're going to do later in your life, and you're going to need this thing that we call the marriage gift to give to your wife. So I'm going to start it for you. And that's a great time to talk with them about money management and growing that fund such that by the time they're at puberty and they're ready to invest or reinvest that money, now they have this idea of my family has worked to establish this and I'm going to take it forward as I prepare for my mate. That's for the young men. But we're teaching them just what God says to us in his revelation of how to be a mate. And he gives us plenty of examples. And inshallah, we'll go through some of those through this program. But he gives us plenty of examples, and we have to present those to our children such that when they're reading the book, they're not just reading scripture as just blind words. It has meaning and content for them as they're reading it. And so we're teaching them how to make sense of what God is telling us about relationships. So they understand my body is going through a change, but I don't know that I'm mentally prepared to be a good mate. So now it's the time for me to groom that in me, that character in me. And so when they're confused by what the pituitary gland is doing to their bodies and is making them sometimes too outspoken or disrespectful in their outspokenness, it's a wonderful learning opportunity to teach them how to talk to other beings, because that goes back to this first principle that we're talking about, this R. And so you're constantly asking them, do you think you're being respectful to God first, to yourself, and to the person to whom you're talking? Let's talk about this idea of respect. So for puberty, this is an opportunity for us to help them groom themselves and be prepared for the marriage relationship that is to come later on. And we do this by just grooming them inside of our own homes with relationships. We teach our young girls. I was talking to a young lady who was raised by her father. And I was saying to her, because she was talking, telling me how she talked to her husband, I said, oh, my darling, you need to know how to talk sweet nothings to him. And she was like, what's a sweet nothing? And so I'm like, you need to be around some women who will also teach you this softer side of being a woman. I said, right now, the way you're talking to him, he's just in the house with another man. And you can't talk to him like that. So Allah has established roles for us, and this is the time to teach them. We teach them before puberty, but most definitely at puberty when they think they're ready for relationships. Then let's make sure they're ready for relationships and have conversations with them. There's a lot more we can say, but I try not to do too much talking as we get ready for this, but I just want to touch on some important things with
this.
And Mark, I'm going to turn it back over to you. And I did mute our listener, but I'm going to put her back on in case she has something else you want to say.
Yeah, I want to say takbir to all that you said, and that's an excellent commentary, you know, in terms of preparation. Some of the things you say, I said ditto to all of that. And actually, and what you were doing, actually, you were given the instructions that Allah gives to us in the Quran, in terms of looking at a good model. You know, so this is very important because you know the issue today. I think depending on where you get your statistics from, and I'm a fan of statistics. 70 to 75, and I've seen as high as 80%
mm-hmm.
for African Americans that babies are born to in a one parent household. You know,
mm-hmm.
see, so this is saying this. What is this? Or is saying a whole lot, meaning that our children are being born. And the two, you understand, that entered into the process for the birth of that child are not married. Not married, you see. The example, matter of fact, last night on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, I introduced that on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is a wordologist, the word idea, I-D-E-A. How do we teach? How we teach is how we learn. So first of all, the instructions that you actually gave in terms of the male, the role and responsibility that they have, that Amara is to be given, which is a dowry. So when we begin to start to talking to our young male in terms of what the obligation is, this is an obligation that God says that is incumbent upon all males, you understand, that are Muslim. You see, that's a role of responsibility. We can't negate that. We have to teach that. And then the practicality of it, I love what you said in terms of what it is that should be doing. So this also impregnates that boy's mind in terms of, there's something that's obligatory that I have to do when I start thinking about marriage or what, that this is a responsibility. You know, when we say that marriage is half of the deen, it means that it is a social responsibility is half of the religion. So let's start saying it like that so that it don't become just like a cliche. The prophet said that marriage is one half of the deen, one half of the religion. And just say social responsibility. It's one half of our religion. So now this is the action plan what Quran is introducing in terms of what it is that males should do. Very, very important, and I'm just kind of relating to the Sister Learning Lab, that the first 7 years of all of our children's life, be they male or female, is called the impressionable stage, where impressions are made upon them. Our children are watching us, even though we may not be noticing them. I'm going to say that again.
Mm-hmm.
Our children
yeah.
are watching us, even though we may not be noticing that they are observing us. So one of the ways that we teach is by demonstration, not only instruction in that word idea that I gave last night on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We also want to use that and bring that gold nugget here to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So when we are teaching our children in terms of the sacred institution of marriage, and I'm going to get to the sexuality part. I know that is somewhat a meta message that's infused in that question. But all of these things that Quran has put forth first is very, very important. Our children don't need just only instructions. do as I say, but not as I do. They need demonstration. They need an example. So the Prophet Muhammad is an example for us. And oftentimes in the early stages of our children, you understand, if we are exemplifying the Muslim life, the type of life in terms of husband and wife, in terms of how we address each other, how we communicate, how we interact with each other, there's nothing wrong with our children seeing that a husband hugs his wife or kiss his wife upon entering or leaving. I saw that with my grandmother and grandfather for years. My grandfather never left the house without kissing and hugging his wife. And when he returned, it didn't matter who was there. That's the first thing he was going to do. And then how they talk to each other, in the tone of voice they talk to each other in.
Yeah.
Being kind to each other, loving and caring. Very, very important. So what that does is instill in our children a desire. I would love to have that at some point in time in my life. That's what you're instilling. You are planting that seed in there by demonstrating that. And we know that the Prophet Muhammad was very kind. He was very kind to his wife, his wives, all of them, very kind. And so when we move in terms of going to puberty, this is when the body begins to take a change. Now, we shouldn't detest that and get all apprehensive about it. This is Allah, our creator. He has done that, and he's done it at the age and the stage. Usually some word can be as early as 11, 12 years old, 13, at least by 14, that pubescence period has started, puberty, and there are signs that are actually there. So the information and the talking to, and a lot of times the talking is in demonstration in terms of how you relate to each other, but the changes, and you say, well, did you have that father-to-son talk? Did you have that mother-to-daughter talk? Imam Muhammad has said to us that sexuality is to be seen in a social context. And then we have words, the ality, the in and ality, reality, the reality of what is real. You understand? Punctuality, the reality of being punctual. Sexuality is the reality of sex. It has a role and a goal in God's construction for life. And so there's steps that we won't go through tonight, inshallah, on probably the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. I would take that topic on, and I would talk about the role and goal and the purpose of sexuality. But I can say this to you. We have to let our children know that when there's particular urges going on, and Imam Muhammad and I have a pamphlet, see if I can find it. At one time I was trying to make sure that it was circulating what Imam Muhammad had said, as he wanted to get the backing of his imams. He gave it in one of the khutbahs he gave. He said, we should be prepared, you understand, if in fact that two young Muslims, you know, at an early age in their teens, we're talking about puberty in their teens, you understand? We want to encourage the discipline. We also want to encourage prioritization in your life in all. But if there are two that really are attracted to each other, they really like each other and all of that, and that urge becomes so strong, Imam Muhammad say, we should allow them to marry, and even though they may not have, as you said, Quran, substantiated themselves economically, but allow them to live with us and to be supportive of them. It would be better to do that than allow them, have them to just sneak around and ultimately begin having sexual relations and becoming one of the statistics where the child is born to a one-parent household, so to speak, or the male is in denial, or, oops, I wasn't trying to make that happen, you see. So there's a lot to be said in regards to that. But one of the things is that in those steps in terms of sexuality, that the reality is that you must be and you should be married. And so that becomes a commitment to that one person. But it's also a commitment to what it is Allah tells us in the Quran in regards to that. We have to remember that Allah does not give us revelation that conflicts with his creation. So if Allah has given us this natural creation, and he has started this progression, he started this transformation in us biologically. So in Al-Islam, you go from childhood to adulthood. When our children come into the stage of pubescence, puberty, at that point, you understand, the male is able to produce a child or to impregnate. At that point, a woman, a young woman at that point, you understand, actually can become impregnated. See, so they have to be impregnated first and foremost with the information and the education that they need from us. And it can't be like it once upon a time when I was coming up as a boy and even before that. Oh, no, it's taboo. We can't talk about sex. Anything that Allah has established, including sexuality. You said God established that? Yes. Yes. You know, we just finished Ramadan. You know, the discipline of the natural urges. It's not only a natural urge just in terms of one to drink water or to eat food, but it says that the natural urge with your lawful spouse, the urge to have sex, you see. But it's a discipline. And Allah tells us in the Quran, for those, you understand, that have not been able to marry for whatever reason that may be, you understand, that we have to fast. So what is Allah saying? We have to show the discipline until it is that Allah will bless us with a mate. Now, that can happen very young. And some of you who are from the South, you can bear witness to what I'm getting ready to say. My mother was only 16 when she got impregnated, 17. I'm her oldest child, you see. This was not uncommon. She was married, but this was not uncommon in the South. As a matter of fact, you know, they may not have had the knowledge that Quran and I are given here on this learning lab, but they knew, you understand, what possibly could happen, you know. So we don't want to go as far as some of them say shotgun weddings. We don't do that in Al-Islam, you know. we want to adhere to God's word, and we want to conform to what God's will is for us, and strive to live our life the way that God wants us to live it. And when we do that, it will work. Even in young marriages, I think Quran, if I'm not mistaken, there in Atlanta, you had a classic example, and I was trying to get them, the couple at one time on my show right there in Atlanta. The Muslima was a junior. He might have been a senior, or they might have been in the same grade.
They were in the same class.
They got
yes.
married, and they was in
high school.
Am I correct?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And then they went on the East Coast there to pursue, and they worked it out where I think she stayed at home, and I think they had a child in the first or second
yes.
year marriage, mm-hmm. and they were still very, very young, just graduated from W.D. Muhammad High School there in Atlanta. And while he went to school, finished his education, and then she went to school, finished her education, and I think
yes.
What I was told, the plan was to come back home or what. And I think they had
yes.
two children while that was happening. but they had a plan in terms of working that out. So what I'm saying is that it can be very, very successful, and we need to have models in that regard too. So those who are pessimistic and negative, oh, I don't think that could be or should be, we can cut down this this high percentage, and now it's infiltrating even in the Muslim community. We have to deal with the reality of it. So I'm hoping that some of the things I've said and Karam said would be helpful. I know it took a long time for that, but that's a very good question. Very good question, Sister Najwa. Yes, Karam.
All right, Sister Najwa, I opened your mic up, so if you want to respond or ask another question, you have the mic.
Yes, if it's all right, if there aren't any, isn't anyone else waiting. But my next question is, for those younger people who are not in an Islamic school, I'm thinking, you know, middle school, mm-hmm. high school in particular, for mm-hmm. whatever reason, and Najwa gets interested in Billy Bob, who is not Muslim, I
yes.
think this is something that does occur in our community. So advice to
yes.
parents, fathers, mothers,
yeah.
you know, because sometimes the way we approach it can drive our children away, like you were
yeah.
saying, Mark, earlier, to make you want to, well, I'm going to go ahead and do this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the best way as Muslims is using the Quran, what you mentioned Imam Muhammad said? So I just like your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Well, I want to respond first with what we did at W.D. Muhammad High School.
Yes,
when
ma'am.
When we saw that couple and they came to us and said, we want to get married, and we created a marriage policy. And I want to, I often tell people that I was on the board, the school board at that time, and I was totally against it. Because I saw them and how attracted they were to each other. And it was just so unnerving to see them like that, just being natural. But wanting to do it according to the Quran and according to what Allah has said, they wanted that. And so we had to honor that. And so we had these long conversations about, okay, well, what will it take? Because, you know, so often people will say, oh, my God, they can't get married when they're young because it's bound to fail. Well, my God, some of these old marriages fail. So that cannot be, that can't be the criteria because it might fail.
Yes, that's
right. Yeah, even with our so-called knowledge and secured
mm-hmm.
finances, we fail. So it's something
yes.
else that needs to happen, and that's what we looked at. And once we did that, I was very comfortable with it, and I often tell people that I was so amazed at how they responded. So in that policy, and that may be something couples can do in their homes, is have
mm-hmm.
a marriage policy that the children have a voice in helping to establish. A part of that policy that we established, and we have very few couples coming behind them who were able to honor it in that way because it was so protective of them. That's how we looked at it. But that policy included that, one, they needed to get counseling from the imam. So the community, that's the community being involved. They needed to go to the imam for marriage counseling. And that marriage counseling needed to not just be, oh, marriage is hard. It needed to really be in-depth, where it explained to them the responsibility of caring for one another emotionally, especially when they're in school. That's how they were able to come up with that plan, because they
mm-hmm.
had to come up with, what's your plan for your first 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And,
well,
and that policy.
Now, to be clear, Karan, we're speaking about the couple that I had mentioned earlier
yes.
from Atlanta.
Yes.
Yeah, before graduating. Yes. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. And they were seniors in high school at that time, so that's a part of our policy, too, is that the marrying couple needs to be at least at their senior year. They need to have the support of their family. So not only did the young people have to go to counseling, the parents needed to go into counseling too. And their counseling was how to support the young people.
Mm-hmm.
and how to be available for them. And I think that's something all of us can learn to do, is how to be available to hear their needs, to be observant and see what they may need as they go forward, and for them to understand how their bodies are functioning and how to use their bodies for good with another mate. Too often, our children learn it on the streets. And what they learn on the streets about sexuality and relationships is unhealthy. They learn it in video games. They learn it in movies. And they learn it from their peers who are their age without experience. And so they need to have that exposure to people who are knowledgeable, who will tell them in a loving way why Allah has made them different like that and what they need to do to be responsible with that differentness that they may see and experience there. And so that was a part of it also. So I think that's important for us as we go forward and we help our young people. But, you know, earlier we talked about asking yourself, and this is for adults and for these young people, am I prepared? Am I prepared spiritually? So we have to look at how are we preparing them spiritually for marriage? Am I prepared financially? They need to learn how to manage a checkbook, but also how to grow their money, how to help their money manage their household. So the female and the male need to know that so that they can work together in that process. They need to be prepared physically. And that physical preparation means you need to be healthy. They need to learn how to eat as well as activities, exercise to be prepared. But they also need to know how that body functions, as we talked earlier, and how to be supportive of one another in that. You know, the prophet said you don't pounce on them. There's a way to be loving, and it's not what you see in the movies. And then need to know how to be prepared emotionally, because there is an emotional change that goes through the body. And so all of that needs to be in that, and parents need to know how to support that process. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing that parents need to know, is how to support young people. But definitely that conversation, Sister Najwa, that you said, how do you talk to them? We talk to our children in a loving way, the way Allah talks to us in Quran. I often say, let's follow that model. Allah doesn't yell at us in Quran when he's talking to us, even in reprimand. He does not yell. He does not curse at us. And so if we learn just to follow the model, we can be really good at all that we do. And that's what this sister says in her book when she talks about this idea of respect. You know, that respect is going right back to what Allah says. And then I am reminded of the ayat that Allah gives us, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, Mike, and I'm Mark. I know I can be talkative. But the ayat that Allah gives us in Quran in Surah 9, when he asks us the question about building our houses, and he says, which then is best? You know, those that build their house on piety, that's that respect for Allah. That's that consciousness of Allah. Build that house, the house, this personal house, the individual house, that person, as well as your home. It should be built on piety. And he says, all those who don't, that is bound to crumble. So that's that respect. Respect for God is first. If you don't want it to crumble, teach them how to love and respect Allah and let it manifest in how we interact with one another. All right, Mark, I'm turning it over to you.
Alhamdulillah. No, I said talk to me, Allahu Akbar. No, you, what you're saying, you could just keep on talking. Alhamdulillah. You know, I love the insight and wisdom that you're sharing, it from by way of the Quran. This is what this learning lab is about, you know, using the Quran as the foundation for what it is that we say, and also the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, may the prayers and peace be upon him. Very, very important. That's going to be needed and necessary for the success of the sacred institution of marriage, the sacred institution of marriage. And I love, you know, the policy that was established there. And so you gave more insight on that in terms of there are some stipulations, there's some parameters that need to be followed. You know, the worst thing that we can say to our children, and saying to Sister Najwa, she alluded to that, you know, sometimes we start trying to pull and they begin to push.
Yeah.
And we try to pull and they push. And so we have to appeal to the intellect. If we've been working on the development, and this goes to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in terms of our role as parents, in terms of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, and we want our children to be physically healthy, but we want them to be morally healthy. We want them to have emotional intelligence. That's healthy emotions, you see. And we want them to be healthy as a rational, intellectual being. We want them to be healthy as a social being. Mm-hmm. And we also want them to be healthy as a spiritual being. This becomes part of the role and responsibility that it is that we have. And oftentimes we miss that. And so then, you understand, when these situations and circumstances appear, we don't know how it is that we should actually handle them. And so we begin to tell them, don't do this, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day, the talk was, boy, keep your pants zipped up. Girl, keep your dress down. And boy, don't get that girl pregnant. And girl, don't get pregnant. Now, if that was the if that was the extent of what you got, now some of you listening out there, so you can press one and you can attest that maybe you got that, and maybe you didn't even get that, you know. But that's not saying very much. That's not saying very much, you know, in that regard, because there is no details. And it's very important, you understand, to appeal to the intellect, the rational intellect of our children. And if we raise them up, you understand, with a moral conscience, now we can appeal to that moral consciousness that has grew up in them, you see. And as the Quran so eloquently articulated, they love for Allah. So we don't want to displease Allah by being disobedient to His word. And it becomes a struggle, but with the all struggle come the ease, you know, and say, wow, I went through that. And going through that struggle, I became a stronger person, a stronger individual, more qualifying myself for the sacred institution of marriage. And it becomes very, very special to you and for that person, you understand, as we show what it is possible for the human being to be able to do in self-restraint. And that ayah that you was reading from in the Quran, piety, I haven't seen it, and I'm not able to read Arabic anymore, nor English as far as that go. But I know, you understand, in what Quran gave, that piety or righteousness, that is talked about. And so it is that we want to build all of our relationships on that. That's a solid foundation. It goes right back to that, being consciously regardful and respectful of God. And so how do we look at that? Consciously and regardfully and respecting God's word. That's His instructions to us. And He's got plenty of instructions when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage. Even if it comes down to, you know, there are steps that should be taken. Even if you get married, those steps should be followed, you understand, so that divorce doesn't become imminent in that relationship. That becomes the last option, not the first, the last option. And we'll go through some of those in subsequent learning labs here. But even with that, Allah has revealed a whole surah in terms of divorce and how that's supposed to do. And it's supposed to be done on capital of relations and all, you know, not being enemies to each other, not being hateful, not being mm-hmm. unjust, all of those things. Allah has guided us through everything it is that we will ever go through. But we've got to be conscious and regardful and respectful of God's word and strive to come to God's will, not our will. That's what gets us in trouble. Allah has given us a will, a free will, but it's limited. You know, so oftentimes we just say, I'm going to stop talking here because I like you, Quran. I can go on and on in regards to this. But these are two excellent questions that Sister Nadja gave. Sometimes in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we'll find that we'll start off on one topic, and a caller may call in and may ask a question. But these were two very profound questions. And these are questions that are often in the minds of many parents and questions that are often asked. And Sister Nadja had the courage to ask those questions. And we hope that the information that Quran Shakir gave and my little input, that would be helpful, you know, to all of you who entertain those questions, not only now but for years. What does Al-Islam say about this? You know, and so we always want to respond from an Islamic perspective here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So thank you, my dear Sister Nadja. And we inviting you to ask the question, I'll make a comment, or what you're hearing, does it resonate? I know some of you out there, you're listening, and you're absorbing this. So I would like to hear from some of you. You don't have to ask the question if that you don't have a question, and you don't have to feel like you need to add anything if you feel like you can't add anything. But I know you out there, if it's good and you've been listening from the very beginning, listen last week, you can at least call in and let us know that what you're hearing is resonating with you. And I'm expecting you to press some ones. I'm expecting Karan to say, we got some callers in the queue. We can at least do that. If we're getting something and it's beneficial, we can say how much we really appreciate that, because this Learning Lab is established for you and yours. And those, you understand, that are much in need of it. So that's why we're encouraging you to always think about your brother, your sister, somebody in your family, your friends. Some of them struggling, don't even have a clue what to do, right? And community members, same situation. See, when you love for your brother and your sister what you love for yourself, then you have to share the information. I can't say what they say, but I know it's all good, and I think it would be something good for you to tune in and listen in. So I'm expecting some ones to be pressed there. You've been listening.
Yes.
And so let us know. So, Karan, do we
have
any callers?
I have
callers?
Two comments. We do have another caller. I'm going to put Sister Nadja on mute and come back to you, Sister Nadja, if you have some other questions or comments, because I do want to hear more from
you. If we don't have any other callers in the queue, then we can come back to it. We want to give everybody an opportunity.
Yeah. Yes, we're going to come back. All right. So I want to make two comments about what you said, Brother Mark. And one is to our listening audience who are out there, we want you to know that when you're in a classroom, which is what we call this learning lab, it's like our classroom, you know, sometimes a teacher needs a student to nod. And so that pushing one is your nod. Say, I get it. I like it. So that's all we're saying. To be a part of this conversation, just push one like that for us. So let's go ahead and listen to a question or comment from 678-777. Welcome to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
This is Regina from Georgia.
Sister Regina from Georgia. And she's not Muslim, but this is... She's called in. Welcome, Regina, to the Courtship and Marriage Learning.
Yes, Regina.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I have comments and questions.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's wonderful. It's very profound. It does resonate. I am looking at it from a different lens, but they are parallel. I'm going to say that because growing up in our family, the females typically would be at the grandparents. We had a matriarch in our family, which was my grandmother. I didn't understand it before, I do now, but we were literally forced to go to the farmland during the summer break. Somebody was coordinating, and it wasn't my mother, so I was just really asking questions. Why do I have to go there every summer? Now I understand. Another rule of thumb was we could not date until college. So there was, if we were to go out anywhere, it was hand selected by in our circle, our grandparents, the parents, and et cetera. And it had to be another person to accompany. But there was no dating. So all females were taught, essentially, were not to look for a man. And if you were to date, that person would be a potential candidate for marriage. So that's how I grew up, which I taught my children. So me, there was no looking. You know, I was not looking ever. Even to this day, I'm still not looking. But so that resonates. But the no sex, the concept you just gave, you know, dress down, we were taught that too, but there were some other variables there, which I still hold true today. So I did get married, and that person pursued me, but I was so just not looking, and I remember turning him down probably 10 times. I was like, you know, then I put him on contract just to make sure there was compatibility. I had him to sign a contract. So that's how the dating persists for me during my younger college years. You mentioned origin, and I think we're all come from different perspective, different walks of life. You know, my who is now my ex, unfortunately. But so I think it, when you mentioned to me early on prior to this session the origin, so it's clear he was raised differently than myself. So in essence, we really were not compatible, and I think he was trying to be compatible. Yeah. So I think that's a very deep-rooted, should be a law or something in place prior to marriage. You know, the courtship piece, which I think is paramount to what you're teaching now, should be across the globe because we're missing it. That's why the divorce rate is high. But, yeah, I just wanted to share the comment. But for, you know, so the question is, are both trying to find, meaning male, female, because I know I was taught not to even dare look. You know, he had to come from heaven, and I had to, you know, he had to just essentially show up. There was no, you know, getting, I didn't, and I don't do that today. So that was, those were my standards growing up, not to pursue them. They are to pursue you. So that is my question, one question.
Yeah, in terms of pursuit, you want to get comment from Karan and myself in terms of pursuit, what you was taught, and from our perspective, from an Islamic perspective, from our perspective, correct? Okay.
Yeah,
and I want to say, you know, I want to say this before Regina, get muted and listen in. You know, I'm very, very impressed with thinking in terms of we're actually working together with her in counseling. Karan, I don't know if you picked up on some of the things in terms of how she was raised up. It sound comparable or close to?
It does. Yes, it does.
I mean, do you see the commonality that's there?
you know?
And I was kind of smiling, in regards to that, because a lot of times we have, the Christian faith and Islamic faith and Jewish faith, we have oftentimes we have a lot of things more in common than what we really know in terms of principle and values. Principle and values. It's just that we don't see enough people adhering to those principles and values. So I just wanted to say that first and foremost. So Regina, we are going to respond to that question that you have in terms of pursuit, and all. So I'm going to always, ladies first, I'm going to yell to Anshak here to respond to you, and then I will also respond to that question. And that's a good question. That's a wonderful question. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes.
And your response.
Yes, well, I want to say first, Regina, thank you so much. And so I just sincerely believe that people of faith have similar ways of responding to what the Creator has said of us when we talk about relationships and, you know, how we are to respond to one another, what we're supposed to do, and even in other aspects of our lives. So I personally try not to put too many labels on it, just saying it's just people of faith. So that's why we see that commonality, because it's just one Creator who sent us the line of prophets and the line of books and the line of religions. It's just one Creator, just like one parent who gives birth to several children. So that's one thing. But when we look at relationships and the idea of finding a mate, we have, I say that the angels come to us. And when the angels come, they whisper. And if we have done our due diligence with ourselves and with preparing ourselves and knowing ourselves, knowing our own history and what we need, sometimes what that process should look like is that before we express, I like that one over there, or I want to get to know that one better, there should be a space of time where we're just observing them. And we have our checklist. This is what I used to tell my children. You should have a checklist based on your own assessment of yourself and your upbringing. And in that checklist, you have already assessed what you need to complement you, and that complement is complement, which means to complete. So this person, not compliment just make you look good or compliment you, that's what a compliment does, but this one is to complete. So you've done this assessment of yourself, and you say, okay, I grew up in a single-parent household, and I know I need someone who understands the value of a two-parent household, and they're committed to that concept. That may be a part of your own checklist. So you watch and observe what things will you see of them of that. So you watch and observe for these certain things. I grew up struggling financially, so I need someone who understands how money works and how to make money work for you instead of always working for it. Or I grew up in a family where we're all entrepreneurs, or we're all educators, or we're all craftsmen, and I need someone who can follow in that family tradition. And so you make a list of what you're looking for. I need someone who spiritually can enrich me, or because I'm enriched, I need someone who won't hold me back if I decide that that's what I want to do. So you make a list of what you need based on your experiences. That's number one. And so then when you see that person, whether you're male or female, then there's a way that that approach happens. And for us as Muslims, that approach is that my wali, or my protecting friend, that's what wali means, protecting friend. My protecting friend will be my voice for me. And that's what Lady Khadija did in her quest for Muhammad. She knew Muhammad. She worked with Muhammad, but she wasn't the one who approached Muhammad to say, I'm interested. So we have to, you know, look at this, and she still expressed the interest in him, not him in her. She expressed the interest. So I think it's okay for a female to express the interest, but it's just how we do it. And for a man who's interested in a woman, he shouldn't go directly to her and say, let me get them digits, sis. No, he would be in respect, since we're looking at this R, his respect would be to go to her protecting friend to say, I'm interested and I'd like to be able to approach. And that approach even then has its own look. But since we're only talking about reaching out, then I think it's okay for the woman or the man, whoever finds that interest, and that interest is not based on they sure look good, I like their hair, I like their curves. You know, it's not about the look. But it is about something else that we see, because we have prepared a checklist and we've been watching and observing something else in them, not something physical, but something else that will complement us.
Mm-hmm. You know, Karan, let me say that that's excellent response to the question. And, of course, I want to say to our listeners, I know Regina is a new listener and everything, and she's so very outstanding intellect herself. She's absorbing this, and she's taking all kind of notes. I know I'm going to hear about it and everything. So excellent answer there. And we have addressed this. We have 5 years going into 6 years come middle of October, 6 years in terms of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And one of the first things that we introduced in the Learning Lab is called the 25 Do's and Don'ts of Islamic Courtship. Point, we're going to do a review of those 25 Do's and Don'ts. And what sparked that is what Karan said in terms of making a list. Now, some of this list be a litany of things, and one of the things is said that person may not have everything on your list, but you have to prioritize what is most important to you, you know, in terms of a companion. And one of the things I want to say that's very important, you have to be the person that you want to meet. Okay, I have this list, and I got, you want this is what I'm looking for. But it's important that you possess that, because the two persons is in the relationship as husband and wife, they're the sum total of what that relationship actually would be and look like. And I know Regina understands that. She's heard that before, you know, in that regard. But I can't say that the Quran stole the thunder, because she's a Muslim and she knows religion so very well, just as well or better than I do as far as that goes. But the model for us is Prophet Muhammad, and his first marriage, he was not the pursuer. He was not the hunter. And I think in Western society, Regina, what often happens is that we get our concepts from Western society, and oftentimes those are misconceptions. What it is the Quran gave you, very, very important. You know, it is about observation. You know, intelligent men, they will observe a woman first and foremost. And we're going to introduce something that Allah blessed me to give 2 years ago here in the Gateway City, in inaugural Courtship, Marriage, and Family Life, Selling the Seven Seas. You know, this may be a good time to give a promo for that. I still have copies for sale, but it really will help you, because we look at chemistry being a strong mutual attraction that two people may have for each other. Oftentimes we relate that to the physicality of the person. It's like what Quran says, not about how good you look, how long your hair is, what your shape is, and yada, 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 and all of that. And that becomes the premise for selection. And believe it or not, it's still prevalent today. And I know when we were young, it's, you know, males was looking at this and they looking at that, and they was attracted to this and that. But the problem with that, the same way with women, in terms of looking at men in terms of different ways or what, if that's what you're looking at and what you're looking for, that may be all that you get, Now, the Prophet, he had four reasons, a short list, of why people get married. One was beauty or looks. The other one was wealth. The other one was lineage or social status. And then the fourth one that he said was the most important was being God conscious, consciously being regardful and respectful of God. And it's also translated as piety or righteousness and all of that. But it is actually in line with what it is that we're teaching on the Learning Lab tonight in regards to that. Because you could possibly hit the jackpot, but you can only hit the jackpot if that is a God-conscious person. As a matter of fact, to even relate that further, years ago when I was a boy, I used to hear, you know, older people say when family members or friends or what found out that they had gotten married, one of the first things they would say about that person, honey, I found me a good God-fearing man. Or, baby, I found me a good God-fearing woman. Well, they were saying the same thing, you see. And that's a good start for a platform for building a relationship in terms of even compatibility. Now, what is very, very, important that and also had brought to mind in terms of the compatibility, getting to know. Courtship is about getting to know. You should see in courtship, you should see sincerity. You should see honesty. You should see integrity. You're looking for commonality, and you're looking for compatibility. And what God says in the Quran, that you may be able to dwell in tranquility. You see, all those other that I gave you is a prerequisite. And he says that I have made for you mates from among yourself of like nature. So it's important after you first establish your relationship with your Lord and Creator, the second thing is assess yourself. I think Quran mentioned that earlier. There's self-assessment. And we all need to do a self-assessment of ourselves. I remember an early workshop that I did Quran years ago, and it wasn't for Muslims. It was for non-Muslims. And I asked the question, it was pretty much for a singles workshop. How many here are looking for someone? And most everybody's hand went up. Then, Quran, I asked the question, how many of you have found yourself? Nobody's hand went up. It was a look of befuddlement, puzzle. What are you talking about? How many of you found yourself? No, it's important for you to find out who you are. You can't find a mate and you don't know who you are. What are you mating? What are you trying to mate to? Who are you? You see? And so for us that are God-conscious people, now we have to look at who we are and who it is that we should be, where we are and where we want to be. These are questions that have to be asked to ourselves. And we have to, as we want our mate to be sincere, with sincerity, honesty, integrity, all of that, we have to display that internally. Am I really sincere? The easiest person to fool is yourself, you see. So am I really sincere? Am I really honest with myself? What is it? Make a list for assessment. You understand? What do you see as your assets? And what do you see as your liability? And what is it that you need to remove from the shelf of self? There's things, you understand, that has expired. It's not selling. You need to get rid of those things. You know, my mother had a little, what they call a store, neighborhood store. And some things, you understand, just didn't move that fast. But every year she would take inventory. And some of those things had an expiration date, so she had to remove those things. And sometimes with ourself, the shelf that we have of self, some of those things need to be removed. You know, we need to unpack, we need to get rid of. So this assessment of ourself, when you're single, there's an excellent opportunity, you understand, to truthfully, honestly assess your own self as to who you are. What's your tolerance level? There's so many questions that can and should be asked in that regard, and we have to be honest with ourselves. So not only a list of what it is that you're looking for, but a list in terms of who you really are. And then what is your model? What is your model? You know, so we all, you understand, have to have a model, and we want to have the best model that really exemplifies who the human being should really be and how they should interact with each other. This is very important. so I'm hoping that's taking notes. I could say a lot more about that, but for the sake of time, I'm going to stop that right here and right now. But it was like Quran said, for us, you understand, from the Islamic perspective, it could be either or. Western societies say that the man should be the hunter and the woman should be the game. But if, in fact, that you are taking notes here and you observe good qualities, it's not like a woman go after every man and a man shouldn't go after every woman. But that observation is very important, even in courtship. We say good relationships require good communication and good observation. That's the natural order of operation. Very important. Not only in terms of good communication, but also observation. And you understand, just like Quran said, we have to say it's a wali, a walima. In this case, because it was not a male that she sent to inquire, it was her sister friend. Her name was Nafisa. And when Nafisa found out and knew that Khadija, who married the Prophet, and he had a 25-year, a beautiful marriage before she transitioned, she became interested in him. And he worked for her and her business as a manager. She was the owner, but he brought her great, the best profit out of any of the people, males that she had hired. And she saw his character. He was called El-Amin. He was called As-Sadiq, the truthful and the trustworthy. Now, those are two qualities when you're looking for somebody. if they're not truthful and trustworthy, we're talking about the trust is trustworthy, you can't trust them, then that becomes elimination right off the bat.
Yep, keep
but what she saw in him, she was so attracted to that. You're managing my business and all, maybe you can help manage me too. And she was not a homely-looking woman. She was very attractive by all the reports that we get. She was a well-to-do woman, would have been considered a wealthy woman at that time. So she wasn't looking for anybody to financially take care of her. And there were men that made proposals, but she turned them down because she didn't see in them and their character what it was that she was looking for. This is what Quran is saying. Make a list, you know, to remind yourself what you're looking for. But also that list, you understand, you should not be looking for something in somebody that you don't possess. Oh, I'm looking for a kind person, but you're cruel.
You're mean.
I'm looking for a thoughtful person, but you're thoughtless. I'm looking for a loving person, but you're not a lover, you see. So whatever, I'm looking for a compassionate person, but you're not compassionate, you see. So you have to, what they call in this relationship, to be able to reciprocate. Whatever it is that you are looking for, you have to be the good, you have to reciprocate. That's the multiplication. That's how it is multiplied, when both of you are bringing plus to the table. But it was Khadija who saw that in the Prophet, you know, and she made the first move. She made the first move. She sent her representative to represent her, to represent her interests. And it wasn't about how much money he had or any of those things. That was not the prioritization in her interests. It was in the good character. And this gets back to taqwa once again, you know, being consciously regardful and respectful of God, which shapes and forms the character of that human being that you're looking for as a prospective mate. This is very important. So this is from an Islamic perspective. Yes, do your homework. Do your observation and all. And if you see an interest and you haven't been noticed and you notice that I'm really interested in this man from based on what it is that I've seen, based on what it is I may have heard from other people that know him, now I'm interested to want to get to know him even more. Mm-hmm. Seeing your representative, you understand, to make that known. And so then it begins, and let me say this. You know, another thing in Western society, they say, well, we engage when you get a ring. No, for Islam in courtship, when you become interested and when communication starts, the engagement begins. You're engaging each other. And when we talk about intercourse, in Western society, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's dealing with sex once again. But at first, in terms of intercourse, who you are, who they are, you want to have the intellectual intercourse to get to know them better. I could say a lot more about that, but I don't have time. So I think that's enough for tonight in terms of what it is, the question you asked. But that's an excellent question, Regina. Hopefully, Quran and myself will give you some insight in terms of that from an Islamic perspective. No, it could be either or. And just as a man, you understand, if he's looked upon it in terms of a hunter, you just don't. It's like when you go shopping. Just look at it as like shopping. When you go to the produce aisle, do you pick up the first tomato that you see? No, you're going to pick that tomato up. You're going to look at it. You're going to feel it. I mean, you've seen people smell fruit and all of that. You're going to use at least two senses, perhaps three senses, before that produce actually get into your basket that you're going to take home. Well, you know, just like men, you understand, real, real men that's, that have principles and values and all of that, and they're not going to just pick or choose just anybody. And so I'm saying the same in regards to yourself or any single woman. Because if that is the case, then that would produce maybe say more marriages. Yes, more marriages. If, in fact, sometimes women were assertive. I was teaching on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on the other sister station, AM 360. You know, that's an example. The prophet's first wife is an example. An example for women to follow in that regard. Because would the prophet have gotten married? Yeah, he would have gotten married, but it probably wouldn't have been Khadijah. It would have been somebody else. But because of her assertiveness, because of her observation, her astuteness in terms of knowing what she wants, like Quran is saying, knowing what she wants, and saw it in him what was attractive. That was the chemistry, because she possessed those same qualities. That's what made the marriage such a beautiful marriage. I'll stop there. I think I've said enough. But this is a good question tonight, Quran. And thank you, Regina, asking that question. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to God.
So, yes, thank you so much.
Yes.
Well, we're at the top of the hour now. It is 9 o'clock. We do have one more caller. I don't know if you want to take them or not.
Go to the caller and go to the caller. We don't want to keep them waiting. Let's go to the caller.
All right.
We got to look. Yes, ma'am. And let's see what they have on their
mind.
Just a
little bit. All right. Yes, we will. All right. So we're going to go to 404-234. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zenobia Bomani. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Alhamdulillah.
All
right, Zenobia. Alhamdulillah.
This is excellent, excellent, excellent. You may not have time to answer a general question, but I was excited about the non-Muslim questions that were coming in and wanted to follow up on that. For many Muslims don't know or understand why there is a heavier emphasis on the male in leadership for prayers, for finance, for decisions. And I was hoping that you could expand on why leadership weighs more heavily on the man in the marriage.
Yes, and you know what? That's an excellent question, and you're right. Quran, let's make a note of that. And so next week, if you tune in, we're gonna call this segment the first 15 minutes, bring it to the lab, and that question, you'll bring it to the lab, and Quran and myself will offer some commentary because we do want to do justice by that question. And that's an often asked question, and people actually think about it. And I've heard a lot of comments over the years, And, you know, many don't know what the Quran says in regards to that in terms of the mushrik and all, and they sometimes think that there's a different standard in terms of what who men can marry as opposed to who women can marry. And I listened to him. I said, oh, boy, they really are. That's not what Allah says in the Quran. So, yes, put that down, Quran. That would be something. Right. After you give your overview, then you can bring that question up, my beloved sister, and that can be taken before we actually get into next week's Learning Lab. But thank you so much for calling in, and we apologize.
Wonderful.
We got a little grace period, but we don't want to just go over. I want to keep Quran as my as my partner here, so I don't want to wear her out. You know, better watch Shahid be on here by himself and not be in trouble.
No, we won't do that. Yes, Zenobia, thank you so much for calling in and for pushing one and joining us in the conversation. So that means that you and our other listeners must join us next Thursday right here on IWDM, and that is going to be from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 6 to 8 Central Standard Time. We'll be right here ready for you on this Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Thank you so much for joining us. And so, Mark, I'm going to turn it over to you to do our closing comments.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you. I want to thank you, Quran. It's really a joy working with you. I mean, so much substantive information was disseminated tonight in this Learning Lab. I want to once again encourage you. Please encourage you. You know, just spread the word. We're looking to build this Learning Lab where it's filled to its max in terms of those who can call into the studio, those who are listening by way of internet. This broadcast is not only national, but it's international. So people are hearing it all across the world. I got to get in touch with a brother that's in Africa. He doesn't know, Brother Hassan. He's looking for a wife. Yes, he's looking for a wife. And we'll talk about that, you know, and all. And he had been listening for a long time before he decided to press one and let it be known. He's there in Ghana, Africa. So this reaches far and wide. And so we don't know how many people actually are listening, but we want to build the listenership because this is valuable information. You can't get anywhere else except for here at the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab from an Islamic perspective. And just as Quran said, this is each and every Thursday night, so we, you know, tune in. The Sister Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio will be every Wednesday, So my distinguished, esteemed co-host next week would be Dr. Patricia Slowdean. They're from Florida, will be joining me on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab last night. You heard from Najwa Abdul-Tawab. She did an excellent job, and we expect the same next week. Very substantive information that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. For the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, the Sister Learning Lab, to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And immediately following that, I'm going to have a very, very special guest following that on the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I always will have very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us, the community. And, yes, you can look forward to hearing Quran Shakir at some point. I've been wanting to interview her for a long time, so inshallah we'll have her as a special guest at some point on the MGM Roundtable. Want to say also here on IWDM, you can get the Salatul Jummah prayer and khutbah each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time at Nur Allah, the Masjid of Imam Mikhail Sayer, longtime resident Imam there, each and every Friday here on IWDM. So those of you who can't make it out for whatever reason, you can tune in to IWDM 2 Eastern, 1 Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Also, the very popular show each and every Sunday here on IWDM, Words Make People. That's also hosted by Imam Mikhail Sahir, Words Make People, and that begins each Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words Make People. He always have very distinguished, esteemed guests, and he have topics that are very intriguing. As last week, he had the topic, you'll never get to know Jesus until you learn Muhammad and his mission. Oh, that's a topic that will make you want to just listen in. Wow, I need to listen in to that. So what is that correlation and all? All of these shows and productions are in the archives. We ask that you do go to the archives. You can do that by typing in IWDM Radio, and all you need to know is the name of the production and the date that it actually aired, and it will bring it up, and you can listen to this one and all others all over again. So until next time, we want to thank all of you for listening in, and especially those who pressed 1 and participated. Want to thank my very distinguished, esteemed co-host who did an excellent, wonderful job. I don't know what I'd do without her. I mean, some valuable information. I want to say, so until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.